Chapter 14. It was nearing midnight by the time Eddie left the Shang home. It had been an exhausting emotional ordeal. They had lost their son once when he left with the snakehead, and Eddie told them they'd lost him again to the sea. He had introduced himself as a merchant sailor for Costco, China's military-run shipping line, and said that his ship had come across a container on its return to Shanghai. The captain had ordered it hauled aboard, thinking there might be something of value inside. He spared them the grim details of what had really been found, but said he'd discovered their son's diary and vowed he would inform the family. It had taken several hours to coax out where the snakehead, Yan Luo, had his headquarters. Eddie was relieved the family didn't ask him to explain why a merchant sailor would want to know, because there was no ready answer. He left their house above the bicycle shop armed with directions to a bar in a warehouse district and went in search of the snakehead who had sent Zhang and his extended family on a journey to their deaths. The streets were quiet. It was late, and with the military encamped in the town square, the locals had prudently decided to remain indoors. The bar was located on Long March Street, a potholed strip of crumbling asphalt that ran parallel to a tributary of the Min River. There were few lights, and the air was heavy with the smell of decay and rust. Most of the buildings along the riverside of the street were corrugated metal, and all seemed to lean against their neighbor. It made Eddie think that if the lynch post was removed, several blocks of warehouses would tumble like dominoes. Thorny weeds grew from grease-blackened soil in the few areas not paved over. The other side of the street was crowded with three-story apartment blocks. Every time Eddie passed the alley separating two buildings, he got a whiff of the communal dung heap. From the numerous garbage piles came the sound of cats and rats competing for food. He heard the occasional wail of a child from one of the darkened apartments. Nearly to the end of the street, garish light spilled from a storefront, and as he approached, he heard muted music coming from within. This had to be the place. His pace slowed as he approached. He was planning on retracing the steps that Zhang had taken, a route that ended in tragedy. Once under the control of the snakehead, Eddie would have few options but to go along with the tide of humanity seeking to escape China. As the light grew brighter and the pop music louder, Eddie's breath became short and he felt sweat trickle down from under his arm. He knew his fears, had faced them over a distinguished career in the CIA and during his time with the corporation, but knew that each time he forced himself to overcome them, it had a corrosive effect on his psyche. It took something from him, weakened him. Like the cumulative effect of concussions, there was always the risk that the next one would be fatal. Eddie clenched his fists and forced himself to stride those last few yards to the bar. There was no bouncer, so he threw open the door and stepped in. The music blared from a pair of speakers mounted behind the bar. The fog of cigarette smoke was as dense as a tear gas attack and just as irritating to his eyes. The wood-planked floor was slick with spilled beer and was moldy in spots. The patrons were mostly young toughs in black leather and overly made-up girls in miniskirts and belly-revealing tops. Despite the infectious beat of the music, the bar's atmosphere seemed charged with something ugly. Eddie spotted the problem as his eyes swept the men seated at the bar along the room's back wall. Three of them wore uniforms. The army had come into the locals' oasis of Western decadence, and no one seemed willing to do anything about it. Yan Luo, if he was here, wouldn't invite trouble for his smuggling operation by confronting a trio of drunk soldiers in town for one night. And if the snakehead wasn't going to evict the soldiers, no one else would either. The men would remain until they'd had their fill. No one paid Eddie much attention as he moved to an open seat at the far end of the bar. He ordered a beer, making sure the bartender saw the wad of money he carried. He had the situation figured out and a plan formulated by the time he'd downed half the bottle. If the soldiers didn't leave before closing time, Eddie was in trouble. Once the soldier he'd killed turned up missing the next day and the army began to tear the town apart, Yan Luo would fade into the background. He'd close down his smuggling ring until after the body was found and an appropriate number of arrests had been made. It might be weeks before he felt safe enough to resume trafficking people out of the area. Eddie needed to be in the smuggling conduit tonight if he hoped to discover if there was a connection between the snakeheads and the pirates preying on shipping in the Sea of Japan. His solution was simple. He had to get the three armed soldiers out of the bar before closing, which, by the sour look on the bartender's face, wouldn't be too much longer. Of the three soldiers, only one was drinking heavily. He was a corporal, a couple years older than the two privates flanking him. He regaled his pals with wild stories as he drank beer after beer. His two companions had the look of peasants just off the farm and appeared overwhelmed by everything that had happened to them since stepping from behind the plow ox. The corporal sounded like he was from a city. It was possible that he was a friend of the would-be rapist. Maybe they had joined up together. He held his comrades enthralled with tales of sexual excess and debauchery, and made boasts that by the end of the evening his companions would have such stories of their own. He said this and leered at the closest girls. Eddie waited for any of the locals to react. One man at the bar wearing black jeans and a motorcycle jacket made of vinyl glanced at a table in the darkest corner of the room. It was a quick flicker that the soldiers didn't notice, but Eddie did. At the table were three men and a pair of girls who could be twins. Two of the men looked like muscle, bodyguards. The third had to be the snakehead, Yan Luo. He wore a dark suit jacket over a black t-shirt and impenetrable sunglasses. He gave the barest shake of his head. It seemed he didn't want trouble with the soldiers. The snakehead sensed Eddie's gaze. Eddie did nothing to mask his intentions. He stood. He'd finished his beer and grabbed the bottle around the neck. Yan Luo slid his Ray-Bans down his small nose to watch what was about to unfold. His expression remained neutral, and the bodyguards seemed oblivious. Eddie moved so he was behind the soldiers and tapped the corporal on the meaty shoulder. The big man didn't react, although one of the privates shot Eddie a wary look. The din of patrons' conversations became a muted, expectant silence. Only the stereo continued to play on. Eddie tapped the corporal again, harder. He whirled around on his bar stool and shot to his feet. He was much steadier than Eddie had expected. His small, piggy eyes narrowed as he looked down at the creature who dared to interrupt his drinking. "You owe those young women an apology, and I think it's best if you and your friends left the bar," Eddie said in his most cultured voice. The corporal roared with laughter. "You think it best." He laughed again. "I think it best if you piss off." He put a heavy hand on Eddie's chest and shoved with all his strength. Rather than fall back, Eddie twisted so the force of the push made the corporal take a staggering step forward. As he'd anticipated, the two farm boys remained in their seats, though they watched expectantly. The corporal threw a lightning punch at Eddie's head. Eddie barely had time to duck as another shot bored in, a left jab to his ribs that connected solidly. He had wholly overestimated the corporal's level of inebriation, or the man was a natural drunken brawler. The corporal grabbed up his own beer bottle and smashed it on the bar. The jagged ring of glass he waved at Eddie's head was as sharp as any knife. Eddie could have broken his own bottle to even the fight, but killing the soldier wasn't an option. He wanted the men out of the bar, not a police raid. "I think it best if you bleed a little," the corporal snarled and swung the broken bottle at Eddie's throat. Had it connected, the glass would have torn through cartilage and arteries and nearly taken Eddie's head off. He rocked back and let the broken bottle whisk an inch from his skin. He jammed his own bottle under the soldier's ribs, digging the neck into the slab of muscle so the corporal had to step back, roaring in pain. Both young privates got to their feet. Eddie pegged the farm boys with a hard stare. You don't want any part of this. His warning came in a hoarse whisper, and he refocused on the corporal. He moved into a martial arts stance, his motions so fluid it seemed his body was made of water. He let the bottle drop from his fingers. The bigger man also crouched down, his hands weaving in front of his face, his eyes locked on Eddie's. Big mistake. Eddie's upper body didn't move as he threw three successive kicks, ribs, knee, and a shot to the groin that didn't properly connect. The corporal should have been watching Eddie's torso to be able to anticipate his blows. The soldier staggered under the onslaught, but Eddie gave no quarter. He glided in close, launching a series of quick strikes, his hands almost blurring. Throat, ribs, solar plexus, head, ribs again, nose. By the time he stepped back again, 5 seconds had elapsed and the corporal was a bloody mess. One of the privates made a jerky move as if he were going to defend his comrade. Eddie had a hand to his throat before the boy was even sure he was going to commit. "He isn't worth it," Eddie said evenly, his breathing unaffected by the adrenaline or the fight. He gently pushed the soldier back into his seat. The corporal was still standing, barely, but there was hatred in his eyes. In his condition, the soldier would most likely return to the bar with reinforcements. Eddie spun like a dervish, firing two brutal roundhouse kicks to the corporal's head. The first bent him double and rolled his eyes back into his skull. The second drove him to the floor so hard his insentient body bounced off the wood planking. He wouldn't wake for hours, and at least a day would pass before he would be coherent enough to consider revenge. Eddie looked back at the privates. "Do yourselves a favor and find a new buddy. This guy's got a big enough mouth to get you into trouble, but no way to get you out. You understand?" One of them nodded mutely. "Take him back to wherever you're encamped. Tell your sergeant he fell down a flight of stairs, and don't come back again." Grateful they'd been spared, the two privates scooped the unconscious corporal from the floor and slung his limp arms over their shoulders. They dragged him from the bar without a backward glance. Eddie turned to the bartender and indicated he wanted another beer. As if a dam had burst, everyone was talking at once, conversations floating over his head as the youths recounted what had just happened. Eddie managed to take his first sip before one of Yan Luo's bodyguards ambled over. "Mr. Yan would like a word with you." Eddie eyed the bodyguard, took another sip, and got to his feet. Once he committed himself, there was no turning back. The snakehead would have complete control of his life. Yan Luo could turn him in for reward money once Eddie made his play as a deserter. He could have him killed on the spot just for the sport of it, or he could pass him along the chain that could ultimately end in a shipping container on the high seas. He squared his shoulders and followed the bodyguard over to Yan's group. Yan ordered the teenage twins away as Eddie approached. One of them purposely pressed her backside against Eddie's groin as she and her sister moved over to the bar. Eddie ignored her and sat opposite the snakehead. Yan Luo removed his sunglasses. Eddie estimated he wasn't yet 30, but the smuggler had an aura of world-weary disdain found in someone who'd only known life's darker side.
"I suspect there was a reason behind your demonstration," Yan Luo said. "I couldn't speak with you with them in the bar."
"Why is that?"
Rather than answer, Eddie pulled the stolen dog tags from around his neck and tossed them onto the scarred table. Yan Luo didn't pick them up or even touch them. His gaze turned speculative.
"Are you with the troops in town for the election?"
"No. I was stationed outside Fuzhou."
"And you came here?"
"You helped a friend's cousin a while back."
"I help a great many people."
"What did I help this person do?"
"You got him to Gold Mountain."
That was the name illegals had given the United States. Eddie let the words hang in the smoky air for long seconds.
"I want to go too."
"Not possible."
"Why?"
I get paid for favors, the snakehead replied. At that, Eddie pulled the thick roll of money from his pocket.
I know how the system works. I give you money now and work off the rest when I reach America. Only you have no way to guarantee I'd pay, since I have no family here to threaten.
Eddie peeled several yen notes from the outside of the roll to reveal an inner core of American dollars.
5,000 right now. Another 2 when I leave China, and you forget you ever met me.
The corners of Jan's mouth lifted slightly and his eyes narrowed.
And what's to stop me from taking your money now and forgetting we ever met?
Eddie spun the table 45 degrees with a flick of his foot and rammed a corner into one of the bodyguard's chests, just hard enough to knock the wind out of him. He launched himself to his feet and drove his elbow onto the tabletop, splitting the wood in half. As it collapsed, he kicked the spot where the leg met the top, snapping the 3-foot leg free. He had it in his hand and thrust against the second bodyguard's throat before the man had even thought of going for the gun hidden behind his back.
Jan remained in his seat but couldn't hide his disbelief at how quickly his 2 best men had been subdued.
I could have killed all 3 of you,
Eddie said, just loud enough to be heard over the driving rock beat from the speakers.
I'm making you a fair offer. If you don't want it, I walk away.
I think you will do well in Gold Mountain, Jan said, breaking into an insincere smile.
Eddie dropped the stump of table leg on the floor and retook his seat. The bodyguard massaged his throat and glowered but made no retaliatory move.
How does it work from here? Eddie asked.
I have 2 others ready to make the trip with you.
The snakehead checked his watch.
I wasn't planning on leaving until tomorrow night, but things might get hot if that soldier decides to make trouble.
I have a truck.
I'll pick you up at the end of the block in an hour. We'll meet with my contact in Fuzhou tomorrow. They'll have documents made up and take you on from there.
Jan paused, his stare hardening.
Let me give you a little advice.
Don't screw with these people.
You pull the kind of crap you did tonight, and you'll find yourself trying to stuff your guts back into your body.
Eddie nodded. He knew he could get away with intimidating Jan because he was low on the snakehead chain of command. He was a recruiter, a foot soldier with little clout. He would remain a big fish in the small pond of Lantan, while the people Eddie really wanted were much higher up. From now on, he'd pretend to be a model immigrant, compliant, grateful, and a little afraid.
The fear he didn't have to fake.